Welcome in, everybody, to another edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast, crossover edition with the Locked On Titans. It's part of the Locked On Podcast Network's Crossover Wednesdays. My name is Louis DiBiase, joining you on this Wednesday morning alongside the host of the Locked On Titans podcast, Jimmy Morris. You can follow him on Twitter at JMorrisMCM. Jimmy, what's going on, man? Welcome to our edition of the Crossover Wednesdays here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Excited to get this going, and let's talk about a very exciting Week 4 matchup between two 2-1 teams, both playoff teams in 2017, young, promising, athletic quarterbacks in Carson Wentz and Marcus Mariota. It should be a good one.
Yeah, absolutely. We're excited. The Titans have gotten a couple of gritty wins the last couple of weeks, as you put it right before we started. Absolutely. So, yeah, we're excited, and this is it's a fun deal, you know, to get the reigning Super Bowl champions coming to your city and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I'm excited to see how this one plays out.
Yeah, and look, I said it, I told you before the show, I'm a big advocate, I'm a big fan of the Tennessee Titans. I've kind of really liked how they've been building this team the past couple of years. I liked what they did with the coaching staff this year, really, you know, bringing in, you know, I think a more up-to-date offense with Matt LaFleur and to help out with Marcus Mariota. And, you know, Mariota was a guy at one point, Eagles fans, and for those listening that are from the Locked On Eagles side of the viewership, just saw the podcast I posted yesterday talking about the deal that never was, how Marcus Mariota almost became the face of the Eagles, and then almost maybe none of what's happened the past couple of years has happened. So very familiar with Marcus Mariota to Eagles fans, and it should be a fun test between these two young quarterbacks. And, man, you know, Jimmy, it was just impressive to see him rip off that run on 3rd-and-1 last week on that read option, considering, I mean, could he barely even feel that football in his hands? I mean, the fact that they beat a Jaguars team that, hey, look, after week two beating the New England Patriots, a lot of people probably thought was the best team in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of buzz around that Jacksonville team, and it's funny, you know, I mean, the Jaguars really should have made the Super Bowl last year. Got conservative right in the second half of the AFC Championship game against the Patriots. But the Titans beat them twice last year. They have their number for whatever reason. It's just the matchups. It kind of plays well to what the Titans want to do. But yeah, you know, Marcus has the nerve issue, can't feel really at all with his fourth and fifth fingers, ring finger and pinky on his right hand. And so, you know, basically he has an issue throwing the ball down the field because he can't really grip the ball. And so they thought at the beginning of the game that, you know, Blaine Gabbert gave him a better chance to be able to do some of the things they want to do. Gabbert got concussed early in the first quarter of that game, so they didn't have a choice to play but to play Mario. They don't have anybody. They don't have another quarterback on the roster. Well, they do now today, but they didn't on Sunday. And so, yeah, you know, and that's the thing. After the game, you know, there's been some rumblings about Marcus Mariota's toughness. People saying, you know, why can't he play and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, Vrabel kind of pointed to the run like you're talking about and said, look, if you could see this defense where I see it from, you know, standing on the sideline, them flying around like they do, and you watch Marcus pull that ball and run it, he said you wouldn't question his toughness if you saw that. I mean, there's no – it's just a matter of he can't, you know, grip the ball and throw the ball down the field. And so there are certain limitations of what they're able to do on offense when that's the case. That's why he's not out there. It has nothing to do with his toughness. So hopefully, you know, this is one of those deals that apparently one morning he's going to wake up and it's going to be fine. Hopefully that happens this week.
Right.
But, you know, like we talked about a little bit, I mean, Gabbert's in the concussion protocol. You know, history kind of has shown us the last couple of years, guys, it's tough for them to clear that in a week. So I think, you know, they're going to have to roll with Marcus. I think they probably would either way this week. But, yeah, I mean, I'm excited to see these two quarterbacks face off against each other. Should be a fun one.
Yeah, I agree with you. And look, I would never, I'm not going to question Marcus Mariota's toughness, even after seeing in that wild card round last year when they took down the Kansas City Chiefs, him going out for that block to secure that first down with Derrick Henry running the football and them closing out that game. I never thought Marcus Mariota was someone that should have his toughness in question. So it's hopefully, you know, Jimmy, how is his health going to be, though? Like you said, one day maybe he just wakes up and he has full feeling again in his fingers, but is he going to be close to 100% this week? I mean, are the Titans going to have to hold back on what they want to do on an offensive perspective because of Mariota's health? And how's the health of the rest of the team right now? Because it speaks volumes how they're 2-1 right now with the injuries they've had up front on the offensive line. Delanie Walker, they're losing pretty much their best, most reliable target, I would say, at tight end. And now Mariota and Blaine Gabbert getting beat up.
Yeah, I mean, so the Titans have actually run really lucky the last couple of years in the injury department. Haven't had a lot of guys miss a lot of games. That's not been the case early on this year. I mean, it's just been a bizarre start to the Mike Vrabel era. You had week one in Miami, the 7+ hour game with all the weather delays and all that kind of stuff. So you already had Jack Conklin, who is, you know, the all-pro right tackle, towards ACL in the playoff game against the Patriots last year. So he hasn't played yet. Taylor Lewan got a concussion in the Miami game, so he wasn't able to play in week two. And so they were out there in week two, and then their swing tackle, the guy that was playing right tackle for Jack Conklin, ends up in the hospital the Saturday before the Texans game week two with a virus. So he's out for that game. So they're playing the Texans week two without their top three offensive tackles. So Lewan's back. He played against the Jaguars. He's good. I think Conklin will be back this week. They haven't said that yet, but I really think it's kind of been trending in that direction. Hopefully Dennis Kelly, their third tackle again, should be healed over whatever virus that he had. So they're getting healthy up front. With Mariota, like I said, it's just a matter of one day he's going to wake up and be fine. I don't know if that'll be this week or not. If it's not, there are certain limitations to what he can do. If you go back and watch, so it happened kind of, he played a couple of series after it happened in Miami, and he threw two picks in the series that he played. And you can see he kind of floated a couple of passes because of the issue with the feeling. So, and if you go back and watch, there was a screen pass that he threw in the game against the Jaguars that he just kind of floated because, again, just doesn't have that touch that he needs for a pass like that. I don't know. Hopefully it'll be fine, but if not, they will be limited as far as what they can do. He's not going to be able to throw a ball, you know, 30 yards down the field. So they'll have to make some adjustments as far as that's concerned. But, you know, that would be the limitation. His legs still work fine, like you talked about. So we'll just kind of have to see how it trends throughout the week.
I heard you mention Dennis Kelly. It sounds like it looks like you guys won that trade where we traded you, Dennis Kelly, for Doriel Green Beckham. Huh? I mean, it seemed like the Eagles just you know, throwing a flyer at Doriel Green Beckham for just some reserve tackle, and you guys actually ended up winning that because Dennis Kelly plays for you, and meanwhile, Doriel Green Beckham is not in the NFL anymore.
Yeah, let me tell you, I mean, I was thrilled when the Titans drafted Green Beckham. You know,
I thought he was a good pick.
I mean, right, the ceiling on this guy is huge, but just couldn't get it for whatever reason, and he was a guy that when John Robinson took over as the general manager, the Titans had a few guys on the roster that just were not good clubhouse guys, and Green Beckham was one of those guys, and so he saw an opportunity to get a guy that could help them. And listen, I mean, you know, just Kelly, he's no all-pro tackler by any means, but he's been a serviceable backup.
Which is more than Doriel Green Beckham.
Right, absolutely. Has been able to come in and help them out when they've been in a pinch. So, yeah, I would say they won that trade, but it's funny how those things work out.
Absolutely. So, and yeah, you were talking about the health. The Eagles are kind of similar with the Titans, where they've really been battling injuries since that Super Bowl win, where Jay Ajayi's been banged up, Darren Sproles. They just got Carson Wentz back after that torn ACL last year against the Rams. You know, Brandon Graham was dealing with an ankle injury. Looks like they might be getting Alshon Jeffrey back. So the Eagles are in a similar boat, too, where they've had to endure a lot of injuries to get to that 2-1 record. And, you know, it looks like Jay Ajayi is going to play this week. Ajayi was dealing with back issues that he suffered against Tampa Bay. And he came back in the second half, and they ran him a lot, and he wasn't really able to regain full health. And I thought getting him that whole week off this week, in the Colts week, really helped for Jay Ajayi as well as Darren Sproles. So the Titans defense is going to have to deal with probably almost an offense for the Eagles that is back to full health, depending on if Alshon Jeffrey plays. Alshon's not yet been cleared for contact. I do expect him to be cleared for contact at the end of the week. I don't know. Peterson said it's very close. I think the Titans might be seeing Alshon Jeffrey this week, so it's going to be an interesting battle on both sides of the ball. And coming up on the next segment of the Locked On Eagles, Locked On Titans crossover podcast, me and Jimmy are going to get into some of the matchups, what we're seeing, how the Titans offense can attack the Eagles defense, and how the Eagles offense can attack the Titans defense. So that's coming up next on Crossover Wednesday. But first, I want to talk to you guys about Vivid Seats. Vivid Seats is an online event ticket marketplace dedicated to providing fans of live entertainment with experiences that last a lifetime. With Vivid Seats, listeners can watch their favorite teams and artists perform in person. Vivid Seats helps fans find their seats to try any of their favorite live events, including sports, concerts, theater, and more. Vivid Seats offers great prices and an easy purchasing experience. With the podcast code LOCKEDON, L-O-C-K-E, EDON. Listeners can receive $20 off orders of $200 or more if they are a first-time customer of Vivid Seats. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app, enter the promo code LOCKEDON, and again, you'll receive $20 off orders of $200 or more. All Vivid Seats confirmed orders are backed by a 100% guarantee, and we thank them for sponsoring Crossover Wednesday today. All right, Jimmy, let's get into the matchups now. Let's get into the nitty-gritty, the Eagles offense against the Titans defense, and the Eagles offense, or, you know, both sides. I forgot which one I said first. But let's get into it now, though, on the field. Because, again, we talked about the injuries, how both teams have had to endure a lot to get to the 2-1 record. Where do you think the Titans on offense are going to try to attack the Eagles defense? Because what do you think the Titans are really going to try to do on offense? Because for me, there's not a lot of weak points to this Eagles defense. But one thing I would point out is that if you get Marcus Mariota running and you make the Eagles keep Jordan Hicks or Nigel Bradham, those two really good linebackers that, you know, like to wreak havoc all over the field in coverage and against the run, they're probably two of the best coverage linebackers in the NFL. If you can get Mariota and that read option going, I don't know how much they're going to want to use that with Mariota's health, but that's something. If those linebackers have to continue to keep an eye on the quarterback, that's maybe one of the weak points or one of the ways you can kind of stall this Eagles defense. What do you think the Titans are going to try to do offensively, as again, they've taken a beating when it comes to the health?
Yeah, you know, I think that they are not going to be hesitant to run the whole playbook with him. I mean, we kind of saw that on Sunday. I really thought they'd be cautious with getting him out on the edge or letting him run or whatever, and they weren't against the Jaguars. So I wouldn't expect it to be any different this week. They want to run the football. That's kind of their that's kind of the thing that they want to do. They want to be able to run the football and then, you know, set up the play action off of that. I'm not sure. I mean, I think, you know, for as much hype as the Jacksonville defense gets, and listen, they're really, really good. I'm not sure the Eagles front seven is not better than Jacksonville's. I think Jacksonville's corners are better. Yeah, I mean, I think Jacksonville's corners are better than pretty much anybody's in the league, to be honest. But I think maybe they will try to take advantage of some stuff more outside. The problem with that is, you know, the Titans have got Corey Davis, who is working on establishing himself as the number one guy in this offense. You know, the Titans lost Delanie Walker in that game in Miami, who was their go-to guy and has been for years. Well, now they don't have him. They drafted Corey Davis 2 years ago with the number 5 overall pick to be that guy, to be, you know, the number one receiver, the stud that the Titans really haven't had. I mean, you know, honestly, as long as they've been here. I think they're going to try to get him involved early. His stat sheet hasn't looked good the last couple weeks, but if you watch the games, made some really big plays for this team. So, I mean, I think that's probably what they'll try to attack, is some of that stuff on the outside. They've been working on screens. I mean, they've run a lot of screens. Deion Lewis, wide receiver screens, that type of stuff. So in a game where, again, I'm not sure if Marcus is going to be able to throw the ball down the field or not, you're going to have some of those short passing game stuff, some of that stuff where they can get the ball into a guy like Taywan Taylor's hands, Deion Lewis's hands, and let them, you know, make a guy miss or whatever it may be. I think that's where they're going to try to take advantage of. Like I said, they'll try to establish the run. And you know, having the offensive line back at full strength, they might be able to have more success there than they had the last couple of weeks. But I think if you're really looking at what they're gonna try to do, it's gonna be those quick hitters on offense, and hopefully a couple guys can make a play. You know, once they have the ball in their hands, try to get them the ball in space. I think that'll be the game plan.
I really like that you brought that up, because I think that's something that the Eagles struggle with against Tampa Bay, where Jim Schwartz's defense, it relies on, he wants his corners to have strong tackling ability, and that's not something they did well against Tampa Bay. But normally Jalen Mills, one of his strong suits is tackling. We saw that in week 3 against the Colts. He did a really good job on T.Y. Hilton, not letting him get going down the field with run after the catch ability, which that's something T.Y. Hilton does really well. But there's also times where sometimes a guy like Ronald Darby, tackling is not his strength, where it is for Jalen Mills and Sidney Jones. So I like the idea for you when talking about this is a matchup to watch, is getting Deion Lewis and Corey Davis in space. I saw an interesting stat, actually, from Pro Football Focus. Corey Davis already has forced 4 missed tackles this year, and he's racked up 89 yards after the catch this season. And last year, he had 117 yards after the catch and 7 forced missed tackles. So that's going to be a key part of this, right, Jimmy, is getting Corey Davis the ball in space and hoping that, you know, it's just the battle of who's going to make a play. Is the corner going to be able to finish his tackle, or are these talented offensive weapons for the Titans going to be able to make plays?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, like I said, Corey Davis, you know, when you draft a guy 5th overall, you expect him to be a stud, right? I mean, he needs to be your number one receiver. And he was slowed last year with a hamstring injury that pretty much hampered him throughout the season. Now, he finally got healthy at the end of the year, had 2 touchdown catches in the playoff game against the Patriots. But, you know, this year it was kind of, you know, new offense. The chemistry with him, Marcus Mariota, was kind of slow getting started. But the last couple of weeks, like I said, when they've needed a play, they've gone to him. And so, yeah, I mean, I think that'll be the plan. And that's the thing. He's a big physical guy, not necessarily a burner, but a guy that can create with the ball in his hands, breaking tackles, like you said, that kind of stuff. So, I mean, I think that's what they're going to try to do because, again, I just don't know. Hopefully, like I said, Marcus wakes up and his hand's fine and he's ready to go. But if not, they're going to have to take advantage of some of that stuff underneath. And I'll be interested. Listen, we love Jim Schwartz here. You know, he was the Titans defensive coordinator back in the day before he left to be the Lions head coach. But I'll be interested to see. The Jaguars, interestingly enough, didn't really seem to adjust to the fact that Marcus couldn't throw the ball down the field. I mean, they still kind of played off on their coverage and that kind of stuff, and were letting those passes underneath go. I'll be interested to see if Schwartz, especially early in the game, you know, does, and I don't know, you can tell me better how they play defense, but if they try to get up a little bit, do like some press man and that kind of stuff to force the Titans to not, you know, be able to have that easy stuff underneath to try to force the ball down the field.
I think that's something to watch for because normally in Jim Schwartz's defense, what he's been known to do with the Eagles since coming to the team in 2016 is play his corners off because these corners like to play aggressive. They like to fly to the football. They get beat on a lot of double moves at times, so he likes to bring them back and not get beat deep a whole lot. But they got burned for that in Tampa Bay a couple weeks ago because Tampa Bay would just take the 10-yard curls and these open routes with so much space, and they would take the chunk plays over and over again. So last week, Schwartz actually had a guy like Jalen Mills, who is better pressed up at the line of scrimmage, go after a Colts team that, again, with Andrew Luck, was similar to a Mariota situation where Andrew Luck really couldn't force the ball down the field. He has had the lowest depth of target, I think, in the entire NFL this year. His yards per attempt is not good. It's a very conservative offense right now because of probably his shoulder still. So I would expect the same thing from Schwartz and the Eagles defense against the Titans is, again, to try to limit what the Titans can do in open space, is get hands on them quickly and allow that pass rush to get to the Marcus Mariota in what is a beat-up offensive line right now. Because like you said, the Eagles' pass rush is right there with the Jaguars. I mean, the Jaguars, you talk about 5-6 options they can have to get to the quarterback. It's the same with the Eagles. I mean, we start with Fletcher Cox and Brandon Graham and Michael Bennett, and we end with Derek Barnett, Chris Long, and even, heck, Haloti Ngata's up in the middle still, you know, wrecking havoc in his 30s. So, you know, that's what I'm watching for here in this Eagles defense versus Titans offense matchup.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I remember from when Schwartz was here, you know, now he had Albert Haynesworth and Kyle VandenBosch at the end. And so he was content to, you know, let those guys get up the passer. And, you know, I just remember the games against Peyton Manning in the division where he would give all the underneath stuff and make them, you know, dink and dunk down the field and not let him beat you over the top. So, I mean, I know that's what he used to do, but obviously, you know, guys adapt. And the Eagles organization as a whole seems like, you know, the model for week by week, we're going to adapt to what our opponent doesn't do well. We're going to attack that, you know, and so I would expect them to be up a little bit and, you know, force the Titans to hit some throws down the field, basically just to make Marcus prove that he can do it.
Let me ask you something about the Titans offense and how it's kind of changed since under Mike Mularkey the past couple of years. How different is the offense now with Matt LaFleur there, with Mike Vrabel bringing him in? I believe he was with, what, Sean McVay's coaching staff with the Rams last year. How has the offense looked different? I mean, I know it's been hard for him to really maximize what he wants to do because of all the injuries, but how do you think it's going to help Marcus Mariota, and what are we going to see different about this Titans offense as before with Mike Mularkey, which it seems very different?
Yeah, absolutely. And listen, I could go on for days about the Mike Mularkey, Terry Rubisky offense and how terrible it was for Marcus Mariota. I mean, it was just, you've got this guy, you've got a guy who is absolutely a franchise quarterback, and you don't do anything that plays into what he does well. They brought Terry Rubisky in to be the offensive coordinator. And I mean, the last person that he called plays for was like Marcus Allen. Like, that's how long it had been between stints of Terry Rubisky being offensive coordinator. So it made sense. You know, I'd say it was a prehistoric offense. It absolutely was. Like you said, we haven't gotten a great feel yet on what this offense is going to look like under Matt LaFleur with everything, the injuries and everything that's been going on. But they're absolutely going to do more of the RPO stuff, more of the stuff that Marcus is comfortable with. And they're going to the thing was last year. So the Titans last year were that old school, like, we're going to line up and we're going to run the ball. And if the team that we're facing is the best run defense in the world, we're going to line up and we're going to try to run it against them. If they're the worst defense in the world, we're going to line up and try to run it against them. And so they've already shown this year that they're willing to adapt to, hey, we're going to look at what the opponent doesn't do well, and we're going to try to attack that. Like you said, Matt LaFleur he was McVay's offensive coordinator last year in Los Angeles, but was with Shanahan, a couple stops before that.
That's so a pretty good offense to come from.
Absolutely. A guy that has a great offensive pedigree, has done a great job with the game plans the last couple of weeks, with the limited options that we've already talked about, what they've had. So I can't honestly sit here and tell you yet what the offense is 100% going to look like with Mariota, with Matt LaFleur, just because we haven't been able to see it yet. But a lot of the short passing game, the RPO stuff, screen passes, that kind of stuff, trying to get the ball out quickly to playmakers in space. I mean, that's the idea. And again, I know that sounds oversimplified, but if you watch the Titans play last year, like, it's such a breath of fresh air because they really, really didn't try to maximize anybody's talent last year.
I feel you. I think it's going to be a lot better for Marcus Mariota, and I think, he had a down year last year compared to the big year a couple years ago, but he got a playoff win despite it in Mike Mularkey's, tenure with the Titans, so the offense against the Eagles defense should be an interesting one to watch. Coming up next on the Locked On Eagles, Locked On Titans crossover podcast, Jimmy and I are going to get into the other side now. Carson Wentz and the Eagles under center going up against this Titans defense. So stay tuned for that's coming up next right here on Crossover Wednesday on the Locked On Podcast Network. Guys, before we take our break, I want to talk to you about MyBookie. Ever since we started these podcasts, people have been asking us for advice. Usually it's what team to bet on this week. Look, the truth is, I don't know who's going to win this week, but if you think you do, you got to go check out MyBookie. Remember, it's not just who you're betting on, it's who you're betting with. And that's why I always tell people to bet with MyBookie. Trust me, guys, they're your best bet this season. They've been in business for years, have great reviews online, and their mobile site is very easy to use. So lay down some cash and win big today. Join now, and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Use the promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie, and don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON when creating your account to claim the bonus. You play, you win, and you get paid. MyBookie will match the listener's first deposit 100% up to $1,000. We thank MyBookie for sponsoring Crossover Wednesday here on the Locked On Eagles, Locked On Titans crossover podcast. All right, everybody, welcome back as we wrap up this Locked On Eagles, Locked On Titans crossover podcast on this Wednesday edition, September 25th, as the 2-1 Eagles gear up to take on the 2-1 Titans in Nashville, or in Tennessee. Do they play in Nashville, Jimmy? Where do they play specifically?
Yeah, it's in Nashville.
Okay, it is in Nashville. Perfect. I know I always see them at the games during the Predator playoff games, so I assumed. But let's get into now the Eagles offense against the Titans defense. The Titans defense, I feel like, is better than a lot of people give credit for. I don't know if there's not a lot of big names and not a lot of household names in this Titans team, really. And I think that's why they fly under the radar, is because, Marcus Mariota is a popular name because, he was a Heisman winner at Oregon, made a national championship, was very well known. But outside of that, there's not a lot of big names on this Titans team, but yet still they're 2-1. They're coming off a year where they had a playoff win and an underperforming offense because of their coaching staff. And look, here they are. But now they're going to have to go up against a really tough test in an Eagles offense that maybe outside of Sean McVay's offense and the Rams, is probably the most dangerous in the NFL just when it comes to so many different things that the coaching staff and the talent on the field can do to you. Where do you think the Eagles can exploit this Titans defense? What are some of their strengths and what are some of their weaknesses? Because right now, it's not going to be where the Eagles just going to have to run the football and use tight ends because their receivers aren't healthy. The Eagles might be at full strength this week. Jay Ajayi and Darren Sproles are both expected to play. And if I had to put my money on it now, I think Alshon Jeffrey plays. So where should the Eagles go after this Titans defense?
Yeah, so far, where the Titans defense has been the most exploitable has been on the deep ball. And, you know, last year it was funny because the Titans got credit last year for having a really good run defense. Well, that was true. I mean, the numbers against the run were really good, but that was because they were pretty bad against the pass. And so teams just threw the ball against them. They didn't need to run the ball. So they would just throw the ball. But last year they were good against the deep ball, but all the underneath stuff, they would give that stuff up all day. It's been a little bit different this year. I mean, you've got a different defensive coordinator. We had Dick LeBeau the last couple of years. Now you've got Dean Pease, who's been with the Ravens. You know, he came in with Mike Vrabel, and so far they've been pretty good. But Malcolm Butler, a guy, you know, obviously from the Super Bowl, you obviously
who didn't play
with right standing on the sideline Super Bowl and all the storylines that went along with that. Titans brought him in the offseason, gave him a pretty sizable contract. And John Robinson, who's Titans GM, spent time in New England. So that's kind of been the connection there. They've got a couple of guys. They got a few guys. I mean, Deion Lewis they signed this year. Logan Ryan was kind of their big free agent guy last season. So they've signed a couple of guys from the Patriots that John Robinson is kind of familiar with. But Malcolm Butler is really good on stuff underneath. He's an aggressive corner, kind of like you're talking about with the Eagles corners. Good at kind of playing off, coming up and attacking the ball on a short pass, or he's pretty good in run support as well. But his weakness is getting beat over the top. And it happened in the first preseason game. Everybody's, you know, going crazy because they sign this guy this big contract and he gets beat by Davante Adams in the first preseason game. But, I mean, it happened in the first two games. Kenny Stills got in for a deep ball down in Miami. And it was a play where Malcolm Butler was in good position but just wasn't able to make the play. Kenny Stills caught the ball, got a long touchdown. Will Fuller, week two for the Texans. He caught a big play over Malcolm Butler and was able to get in the house. Now, last week, we were facing Blake Bortles, who's terrible. Don't let Jaguars fans try to convince you otherwise. He's not any good. And so they weren't able to take advantage of that. So I would expect, I trust this Eagles coaching staff is going to look at what has been working for other teams against the Titans. And so I would expect them to take some shots down the field against Malcolm Butler specifically. The other thing is, so their other starting corner, Adoree Jackson, who was a first-round pick 2 years ago, he suffered a concussion also against the Jaguars. So don't know about him, but I would assume he's probably not going to play. They got Malcolm Butler and Logan Ryan, both solid corners, not great, but they're good enough. LaShawn Sims is the third corner now, the fourth corner normally. And again, a solid player, not a great player.
But that's big from a speed perspective, right? I mean, because Adoree Jackson's a faster corner. I mean, if Nelson Aguilar is on the outside, he's the burner for this Eagles team. You saw last year, he makes plays on the field. You can't let that guy get behind your defense.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if I were the Eagles, I'd be scheming up ways to get Aguilar matched up on Malcolm Butler and take shots. I mean, that's what I think they should try to do. I think that's what they will try to do because that's what they've been susceptible to. I mean, like I said, hopefully Adoree can play. But I don't know at this point. And, last year when they drafted him, they'd already signed Logan Ryan, who is, kind of a bigger corner. He doesn't have elite speed. So, when you look at who the Titans play in the division, you've got a T.Y. Hilton with the Colts, who obviously y'all saw last week. Will Fuller with the Texans. I mean, I think they drafted Adoree to match up against those guys. And Nelson Aguilar, if you will. If he doesn't play, I think that is absolutely an advantage the Eagles will have. And then they should try to take advantage of. Like I said, last week, the Jaguars actually have some, especially from a speed perspective. I mean, they've got Adidi Westbrook, Keelan Cole, DJ Chark. I mean, guys that can get down the field, but they didn't try to do it much. And then when they did, of course, Blake Bortles is out there missing open guys. So, I mean, if I were the Eagles, that's what I would try to do, first of all, is attack that. See if you can hit some of those plays down the field. Because the Titans defense is fairly solid otherwise. The run defense is good enough. They got exploited a little bit in the first couple of weeks. Like I said, they weren't as good as the numbers showed last year just because teams didn't try to do it very much. But, I mean, I think they're good enough that you're not going to line up and run the ball, you know, 30 times against them and have a ton of success. But they are susceptible to the deep pass. So, I mean, if I were the Eagles, that's what I would come out and try to do is see if we can get a couple of those plays over the top and then, you know, kind of go from there.
Yeah, and look, Carson Wentz is going to be big in that, and I thought the offense really opened up last week against the Colts. You just saw plays that he made that Nick Foles would have never even tried making, and, you know, even plays that go back to that 3rd and 9, the final drive where Carson Wentz is a drive down the field to get them a touchdown to get the lead back, and, you know, at 3rd and 9, it's a pocket that's just collapsing all around him. He steps up, gets Nelson Agholor the ball on an out route. Agholor fights for that first down. Those two last year were probably the best connection on 3rd down in the NFL, or at least one of them. So Wentz holding onto the football, if this offensive line can buy him time, yeah, not having a Dory Jackson might be tough for the Titans. But another thing the Eagles really did last week, Jimmy, was using the Goddard's package, we call it, with Dallas Goddard and Zach Ertz. And they were using a lot of 3 tight end sets with Josh Perkins out there as well, who's a former wide receiver, so he's kind of a receiver tight end hybrid, but he's a big guy. Even if Alshon Jeffrey comes back, Jordan Matthews is only in the second week back with the Eagles. They're probably not going to run a lot of 3 receiver sets. They're going to run a lot of 12 personnel, maybe even still use 3 tight ends. I don't know. I don't expect it as much, but I do think you're going to see Dallas Goedert and Ertz on the field at the same time a lot. I think they spent a second round pick on Goedert for a reason. They both finished, Ertz and Goedert, with 73 yards last week. Goddard with the touchdown, Ertz with some big receptions all over the field. Who do you think the Titans are going to try to match up against those two big, physical, athletic, fast tight ends that the Eagles have at their, you know, at Carson Wentz's in his weaponry?
Yeah, so the Titans have got Jayon Brown, who's a linebacker, was a rookie last year, played pretty well, was a little bit up and down. But a guy that's much more effective in coverage than he's going to be like a run support guy. He's the guy that comes in on 3rd down passing situations, that type of deal. They've got Kevin Byard, who is, you know, he was an all-pro last year. Really good safety, really good in coverage and that kind of stuff. So, I mean, I think
he's a good quarterback, too.
Yeah, right. Yeah, there you go. I think they can match up well on that kind of stuff. So, I mean, I think they'll be all right. As far as that's concerned, like I said, Jayon Brown has done pretty good in that role, and Byard has been, I mean, quite honestly, really, really good in those types of situations. So I think they can be okay against that. I think you're going to have a more success, like I said, testing them down the field. But, you know, honestly, we haven't seen a team that has 2 tight ends that can do what the Eagles tight ends can do. Or honestly, 1 tight end that can do what the Eagles tight ends can do. Because when you look at the teams they played so far with the Dolphins, the Texans, the Jaguars, I mean, you know, you can probably name their tight ends, but they're not guys that you're starting in your fantasy lineup, right? So, I mean, it'll be interesting to see how they match up against that. One question I have for you, how did Wentz look in his debut?
Wentz, to me, I thought there was going to be a little bit of rust to start off. Because, again, when you don't play for so long. I mean, he hasn't played since week 13 of last season. I thought he was going to be ready for week 1, but they decided to take the cautious approach with him. I was extremely impressed with him coming back. They started off the game against the Colts with a lot of up-tempo stuff, getting the ball out quickly, getting it to tight ends, and get him in a rhythm early. And then once he got his legs under him, once he got that rust off, he started holding onto the football more. He started making those amazing escaping plays that if you're a Titans team and you don't get him on the ground, I mean, the Colts did sack him 5 times, but a lot of it was Wentz just running into some sacks because, and that'll happen because he's trying to extend plays with his legs, where sometimes he's just going to run into guys, but he was dangerous in that area once again, and that was something I was concerned with because, you know, when you have a torn ACL injury, a guy like Carson Wentz, who's fearless and loves to run the football, to not only run but to make plays down the field with his arm, I was hoping and I was praying that wasn't going to go away, and it wasn't. Wentz looked just as fast. He looked just as athletic and dangerous. Some of the plays he was making was really incredible, and seeing him make that fourth quarter drive to put the Eagles back in the lead, he's back, and to me, there's some rust, there was a couple turnovers that got him in their own territory, but I think that, you know, with getting more games under his belt this year, that'll come where he can limit those again. He was pretty good at limiting turnovers last year, but we saw a lot of signs of the Carson Wentz from 2017 that probably would have won the MVP if he stayed healthy, so Wentz, to me, looks good. I think the Titans are going to have their handful on Sunday.
Yeah, and you know, they the one thing you can say about Blake Bortles, I mean, I think he's a better runner than he is thrower, and they did a pretty good job on him. You know, not letting him escape and make those type of plays. But Wentz to me is more of, I don't know, Ben Roethlisberger is not a great comparison, but a guy that tries to keep plays alive and is still looking down the field to throw. I think Bortles, a lot of times when he gets outside, he wants to run.
Right. See, so, Wentz, I mean, Wentz's adjusted completion percentage under pressure last week was 88.9%,
yeah,
and his passer rating was 136. Bortles, you're not getting that.
Right, absolutely, yeah. So, I mean, I think that'll be a much bigger challenge for this Titans defense because their pass rush is better than it has been. They got Harold Landry, the rookie, who is
good,
I mean
right?
has that. Yeah, I mean he's looked good. Doesn't have a sack yet, but in each of the last two games, has made a play that has affected. I mean, he got that bend off the edge, and you know almost had a strip sack on Bortles this past week. Had a play where he made Deshaun Watson step up against the Texans, and Jarrell Casey was able to get a sack. So, I mean, I think they've got some good pieces in the pass rush now that they can take advantage of. But, yeah, you're always concerned against a guy like Wentz who, you know, like I said, you see guys who escape and are looking to run, but he seems to me like a guy that's looking to extend the play so that he can get the ball down the field.
Right.
And so, like you said, if you don't get him on the ground, your guys have got to cover that much longer. And, I mean, it's just hard for anybody to cover an NFL receiver for that long. So that would be my fear there. And then, like I said, with them being susceptible to the ball over the top anyway, not having Adoree Jackson possibly, that's kind of my biggest fear heading into this game, is that there's going to be a lot of plays, a lot of big plays that are going to be there for the taking down the field.
Yeah, look, Jimmy, I think this is going to be a lot closer game than I think on the Eagles side. They see this Titans team, and again, they don't see a lot of household names similar to the Colts last week, and I think that they're expecting a big, sizable win for this Eagles team. I'm not so sure. I mean, this is on the road against a playoff team last year. They're getting healthier. If Marcus Mariota's back, I really hope Mariota is healthy. I think it's going to be a very entertaining game. Both Wentz and Mariota really good in the fourth quarters, too. I mean, again, like seeing Mariota do what he did in the playoffs last year against the Chiefs and that run against the Jaguars, to me, was just really impressive. And hopefully he's at full strength, because I think this, with those two going at it, if this is a close game in the fourth quarter, I mean, buckle up. It could be an entertaining one. Do you have a prediction for the game yet, or are you saving it for the end of the week?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's funny. Last week, so the Titans, there wasn't a lot of the game until late in the week because, you know, obviously Vegas was waiting to see if Mario was going to play. When it became pretty evident that Gabbert was going to be the quarterback. I mean, Jacksonville was a 9.5-point favorite against the Titans, and that just always seemed dumb to me. Like, the way these two teams played last year, you knew it was going to be a close game one way or the other.
I don't think the Jaguars can ever blow out anybody because you have Blake Bortles, right?
Well, I mean, their whole thing is, you know, they get turnovers, they score on defense, and then, you know, if you're chasing them, then you're in trouble.
Okay.
With the Eagles, you know, I think with the line open at like Eagles -3.5 or something like that, and I would be willing to put a lot more money on the Eagles being able to cover that than I would have the Jaguars last week. I don't know. I mean, this team at this point has exceeded my expectations through 3 weeks, again, just based on the injuries and all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, I think this is a game where I think it's going to be close. I think it is going to come down to the fourth quarter. I'm not sold right now on Mariota's health, and so I'm hesitant to, you know, I mean, obviously it would be a pretty big upset if the Titans were able to win. So, I mean, I'm not necessarily willing to pick the Titans to win, but I do think it's going to be a close game. I do think it's going to come down to the fourth quarter, and like you said, it's just going to be fun to watch. And anytime you get two of the, you know, young quarterbacks in the league, a guy like Wentz, who, like you said, probably would have won the MVP last year, so he's kind of already established himself as, you know, this up-and-coming guy. Mariota has been so much up and down. I fully believe that in this offense, that he's going to be in the conversation as, you know, one of these up-and-coming guys. I just think it's going to be fun to watch. I would be probably a little bit surprised if the Titans won, but like I said, it's surprising the last couple of weeks, so I'm just excited to watch it and kind of see how it plays out.
Yeah, and of course, they're at home, and the home field advantage is big. Not having to go against the Eagles at Lincoln Financial Field, that's kind of, Jimmy, become the new Seattle, where teams, when you go to Philly, that is a tough place to play. Now, the Eagles defense, too, the numbers show it. They play a lot better at home than they do on the road. But I'm still going to give the advantage to the Eagles because of the health issues the Titans are dealing with. Wentz is back healthy, looking good. I think they're going to be at full strength on offense. So I'm going to give the advantage to the Eagles. I think they win by maybe 10 points here. If I had to throw out a score, maybe I'll go 27-17 at this point. But then the Eagles' schedule gets really tough. So I think they got to take advantage, but again, you can't sleep on this team. You can't look past them and look to next week against the Minnesota Vikings, because this Titans team, 2-1, coming off an impressive win. Mike Vrabel's got them playing inspired football, and I'm hopefully we're gearing up for a good one, Jimmy.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like you said, the Titans are coming off two division wins. Now, it does help this game's at home. It would be a disaster if they were heading to Philadelphia. Just like I said, kind of a letdown spot. You know what I'm saying? But I mean, when you got the defending Super Bowl champions coming to your house, I think that'll help keep them up for this game. And the Titans' schedule actually eases up a little bit after this, so it'll be interesting to see how they respond to, you know, two pretty emotional, hard fought wins the last couple of weeks. So yeah, I'm excited to watch it.
Absolutely. All right, Jimmy, that's going to do it for today's edition of the Locked On Crossover Wednesday, Locked On Eagles, Locked On Titans edition. If you want to check out any of our stuff, follow us on Twitter, myself at DiBiaseLOE. You can go check out Jimmy at JMorrisMCM. We got a couple more days to get through this week, and then Eagles-Titans on Sunday, a battle of 2-1 teams, Carson Wentz v. Marcus Mariota. Should be a fun one. Jimmy, thanks for coming on today. It was fun doing Crossover Wednesday. Good luck on Sunday, and we'll see who's talking about an Eagles win or a Titans win on Sunday, and hopefully it's a close one.
Absolutely, man. Yeah, it was so much fun doing this episode with you, and good luck to y'all.
Yeah, good luck to you guys, too. That's going to do it. Thanks, everyone, that listened. Me and Jimmy will be back tomorrow on our own podcast, back in the nest and back in Nashville, Tennessee, for Locked On Eagles and Locked On Titans. But for now, thanks for tuning in. Please subscribe to the shows. Follow us on Twitter and the feedback. Leave us, hopefully, a five-star review if you like the shows. But the listener feedback for the Locked On Podcast Network this year has been great. We appreciate everyone listening. So that's going to do it for me and Jimmy. We'll see you tomorrow, and peace out.